Good afternoon. This is my first podcast. My name is Ruth Wittstein. I am a writer. I am an artist. I am a retired nurse, believe it or not. Yeah. I'm 52 years old. I retired young, 46, after doing 26 years in the field of nursing. I was a newborn intensive care nurse for over 26 years. I quit, actually, because it was just too much. I couldn't handle the demands on my soul and my spirit, and it was just difficult. I worked in many different areas, pediatrics, NICU, adult care, which included the intensive care unit, step down, cardiac. I mean, I did it all. Even worked psychiatric, which sits so well considering my situation. I have been suffering from bipolar spectrum disorder since I was 15 years old. I was diagnosed at 32. Came as not really a surprise to myself, but to my family. Being able to graduate from college at such a young age. I graduated at the age of 20 with honors. Being able to motor through school at such a fast pace, test out of things, a lot of classes that were prereqs. And if anybody goes to college, they know there's lots of prerequisite classes that you must take. My strong points in those areas, I was able to test out of a lot of things. My high school grades were good. I actually, I graduated when I was 18 from high school, but I was going to nursing school at the same time. I was a very driven person. I didn't sleep much. Very full of energy. Johnny on the spot kind of person. Could do a jack of all trades. Do just about anything. And then, would come the crash, and I was asleep for weeks at a time. But because of my boosts of energy and able to get so many things done, I would have all the work done. So when I did crash and have to sleep for days and days and days and days in my bed, my pillow over my head and telling my parents to leave me alone, I was not behind in school. So, and even the teachers seemed to give me a pass on that. I was lucky. I was very lucky. As I got older and on my own, though, out in the work world, after graduation from college and getting my job as a nurse and everything, and I was married, got married at a very young age. That's a kind of a part of my life that's kind of foggy. Fraught with mess, actually. My husband did not realize what was wrong with me, as did I. I did not either completely. I knew something was up, but not completely, because I would miss a lot of work due to depression, fall asleep, very tired, but I would work bunches and bunches and bunches of overtime. We had a child together. Long and short of it is that I'm assuming, it's not all my fault, of course, that he decided to have affairs, but we didn't connect well. I think we got married so young. We had our child, and then maybe he got scared of being a father. I really don't know what it was, but suddenly his juvenile behavior started to come out, and he was out playing the field, and I knew it, but I was the one supporting us. And anyway, so we divorced eventually when my daughter was about 2 years old. We were divorced. And then I was on my own. And I did better on my own, but then again, not. It was kind of like I sort of did, but I didn't. The sort of did part was I slept better without him there. He stressed me out. I didn't realize that till he was gone. The biggest issues I had, of course, was single motherhood and finding babysitting. And sometimes he would help and sometimes he wouldn't. I worked a lot. And where I worked, it was kind of this, I worked with a neat group of girls that also in the same predicament as I, with singleness, being single parents. And we would get a room that was not being used in the hospital. And on the floor, actually, we worked in the NICU, but on the floor, and many of us would, we put our kids in there. And we either the teenager, you know, that of one of the kids, of one of the my friends, would be the babysitter, or one of the nurses on the floor that had their own kid in there. But yeah, we had sleeping bags everywhere. Kids were all in there, and we had to. It's either that or you didn't work. And this is back in the early 90s that we all kind of stuck together. Now you can't do that now. But anyway, fast forward to my diagnosis. I was 32 years old when I was diagnosed, and my head nurse noticed my behavior. She noticed me working back-to-back 18-hour shifts, night shift, and then all of a sudden, after pulling five of those straight and seemingly not tired, all of a sudden I just couldn't come to work for almost 2 weeks. And she and many others got together and had discussion, decided that I needed to see somebody, and I did. Went to a doctor and they discovered, oh gosh, guess what? You're bipolar. I was never put in the hospital. I know a lot of people have had in their histories of bipolar disorder, they were put in the hospital. I never was, because I worked in the hospital and I had people constantly covering for me. And, you know, my hospital stay, as far as, you know, working on my medications, was at the house, at my own house, with my friends watching my daughter and my other friend making sure I took my pills, get my shit together. That was the beginning of me getting my act together. Having said that, as anybody who's ever been diagnosed with bipolar disorder, you get to feel good, get to feel normal, and then you get to think, I don't need these drugs, right? We all do that, you know. I shouldn't say we all do that. There are some good people out there that just behave themselves so well and they don't go off their meds. But the majority of the folks I've talked to in support group and, you know, what have you, have all come forward and said, oh gosh, you know, I went years without medication. As did I. As did I. And everybody around you suffers when you do that. It's difficult to admit that you have a problem. And depending on, I'll see right now where I am living, I'm no longer a nurse. I gave it up. I met Mr. Wright after my daughter had grown up. And I've been divorced well over 20 years. He also, my new man. And I was first working, you know, as a nurse. He just noticed that it was hard on me. He said, why don't we just stop all this and you take a break and I work? I thought, holy mackerel, what's that? I've never experienced a dude helping me like this, you know. And we did. We did. He had a friend that was selling a little place, little cabin in the woods. I'm not going to say where, because I really want to protect my family. And I'm sure you've guessed my name, Ruth Wittstein. It's not my true name. That's my writer's name. A pen name. I won't divulge my real name because I am protecting my family in this podcast, including my husband. So we're just going to say I live in the woods in a cabin. And we have another child. I have another child. We're doing great, somewhat. I have gone basically all natural with my therapies. I have found the natural elements that equal that of my medication that I was taking. And it's working if I take it. See, that's the goal. The goal is to keep on it. You have to, because if you don't, everyone suffers. They do. And I have had my moments where I go off it. Here's the kicker. When I met my sweetheart, I didn't tell him I was bipolar. I was in that phase where I didn't think I was. I was fine. And I had stopped taking my meds. And it wasn't until we were here for a while, a couple years, and I'm working on my artwork, and he's just noticing, God, you just never sleep. I mean, I thought that would get better when we move here, but you just never sleep, and you're just like, you talk many miles an hour, and you're just, you know. And then 1 minute, the next minute, you're just so tired, you can't do anything. What's up? You know. Oh, nothing. Nothing. I didn't want to believe it again. It took me calling my old doctors back on the phone and visiting with them. I had to give them my code to talk, you know, to discuss me and have them look at my records, because we had a code at our office that I could use. They would know it was me calling. And that's, you know, HIPAA protection. Like a pin code or whatever. And yeah, they basically told me, no, hon, you left us. You basically told us you weren't taking your meds anymore, that you were fine, that we were all trying to make you sick, and you know. And then you walked out the door, and that was the end of it. That was right before we moved here. Well, right before I met that man that I love so much. Yeah. And she says, no, you were diagnosed with bipolar spectrum. I said, bipolar spectrum? She said, yeah, because you flopped between, you know, one and two in rapid cycling. She said it was, you know, you had issues all over the place. And so we basically put you down a spectrum because, you know, although some of your behaviors definitely showed one and two, you would do rapid cycling. And she said, you know, you were able to work and you did all these things from home. You never were hospitalized. So it's kind of like we just decided that the spectrum, that's what, you know, you and the doctor talked about, that you're kind of an unusual situation. She said, how are you doing now? And I said, well, discovering I'm having problems now. And she said, okay, so you're on your meds. Are you seeing a doctor? And I said, no, I'm not on my meds. I don't have health insurance. Still don't have health insurance to this day. And she said, oh my goodness, you need to get in right away. Can I schedule an appointment? We'll figure something out. And I said, I don't live in that state anymore. I live, I won't say where. And she said, okay. She says, well, please, she said, don't let this go. You know, don't let yourself get into a point where you are stuck in the hospital. Could you find somebody? There's got to be some free help around there somewhere. I didn't really find anybody here, but I found lots of help online, believe it or not. And because of the insurance situation and the fact that we are a one-income family, I homeschool my child and everything, monies are saved for her and him, really. And I just, it's so expensive, health insurance is, so. And I chose to go the natural route, and I researched it. I researched my situation, and I found some elements that would help. I used to take lithium carbonate, so I looked at lithium, found lithium orotate. I discovered, after talking to many people online about lithium orotate, that it can be used for that, but you have to take a higher dose than what's on the bottle, and you have to, you know, match what you were taking. Lithium orotate, I guess, 5 milligrams pretty much equals 100 milligrams of the carbonate. So I was taking 300. I was supposed to be taking 900 milligrams of lithium carbonate, and I weaned myself down to 300, and then eventually I just quit taking it back when I was on that. But here's the thing, at 300, I felt pretty good with the carbonate. I did. Even though my levels in my blood were considered not therapeutic, I felt good. I wasn't out of control. I was in control. But I couldn't get my doctor to agree. And I think that's where, you know, he was very, very fixated on the blood levels. And I understand that. That's what he was taught. That's how he, you know, how he is. So I'm not going to go there with, I'm not going to argue that point. But it is my body. I made this decision on my own, and I just said, well, screw it then. You know, eventually I'm going to run out of this stuff, so I might as well just stop taking it anyway. He's not going to prescribe what I need. He's going to get me the higher dosage capsules so that I can't make it smaller. I'm not going to do that, you know. And it wasn't an argument. It was just he saw his way, and I saw my way, and we just couldn't meet eye to eye. And I think that's what led to the dissolving of our relationship, patient-client relationship, or client-doctor relationship. So I ordered the lithium orotate, and I did the conversion according to what I read. Like I said, I don't tell people to do this. So if you do have bipolar disorder and you have issues and you have insurance, please see somebody. Please go to your doctor. Don't necessarily do what I did, okay? Because I'm not advocating that you do this. I'm doing this because I have to. And, you know, if I ever did get to the point where I had insurance again, you know, my writing takes off, my art takes off, and I can make a decent income, or it's such a drain on the family to get this kind of help. I will get this kind of help again someday, but I'm going to try to find a physician that's a little bit more in line with my thinking of, you know, I don't think a person needs to be fully medicated to the point that they can't even have any emotion. That was the reason I backed off my lithium, is that my emotions went away. And I am known for my emotions, you know. I am known for my drive and my passion. And so when you take that away from somebody, but that's what they've had all their life, you know, you take it completely away. It's like a death. It's like a death in your family. It's like you've lost a friend. And that's how it felt to me. But by the other side, you know, without any helps whatsoever, I'm flying off the seat, you know, flying by the seat of my pants. I can't do that for my family. So I'm in a good place right now. I'm doing online support groups. I do patients like me. I like that. I just started that a little bit ago. And I have some friends online that they don't know my real name, but we talk. It's very helpful. One thing I do not do is no one in my neighborhood where I live right now, even though we're in the woods, in the cabin, really nice place, they don't know I have this. And like I said, anyone has bipolar, you know that they're not real forthcoming with that information because of the stigma, because it's so hard to get people to look at you like you're not crazier than a bed bug. It's very hard to talk to somebody who doesn't have a mental illness in their family or have something like this. And especially if they, I mean, I kind of feel the situation out when I'm talking to somebody. And if they start making funny comments or kind of rude comments about the mentally ill, I've seen it where I live. I just keep my mouth shut. I try not to be nasty. I don't join in, you know. I don't do that to their making fun of the mentally ill. I mean, that seems to be something that some people who are quite ignorant will do. I didn't want to be on that list because, after all, I'm raising a child and my husband has a good job and we're trying to make a life for ourselves, and I don't need to ruin everything. So I figured this is the way to go. Keep my anonymity. And I'm doing this podcast. I decided I would start doing podcasts about my bipolar disorder and then going natural for the moment. And, you know, I'll keep people up to date when I finally do walk into a psychiatrist's office again. I've had tons of therapy throughout my life, by the way, and I've had seen many psychiatrists over the course of my 20 years of being diagnosed. And so it's not like I'm totally blind to what needs to be done. I'm not. I know that I'm using the skills that I was taught in cognitive therapy, you know, about regimented routines. You really need one when you're bipolar. Any kind of illness, really, mental illness, a good routine is helpful to keep you within a boundary that works for you. Do I stay on that routine? It's really hard, you know, when my mania surfaces. I just got done having hypomanic episodes, and honestly, it was probably due to the fact that I wasn't taking my lithium correctly. I was taking it every morning, and, you know, I would truck along, and then the evening time would come, and I'd be falling apart. So what I started to do is take 15 milligrams of the orotate, which basically sort of equals, in a roundabout way, what you get from 300 milligrams of the carbonate. So I take 100 milligrams in the morning, and I take 200 milligrams at night. Well, 5 milligrams of orotate in the morning and 10 milligrams of orotate at night. And that works for me. For me. I'm not saying it's going to work for everyone. You know, you've got people who are on 1,600 milligrams of lithium carbonate in their lifetime. So, you know, I strongly suggest if anyone decides to go it alone, you do your research, please. Don't just take my word for it. Please do your research. Look it up. Follow your own instincts. Don't just, you know, I'm not advocating everybody go all natural and alone in this. I'm really not alone. My husband's in the loop, and he discovered what was wrong with me. I thought, oh, crap, you know, we're going to have a divorce here. He stayed. He just laughed and said, oh, I kind of had a feeling. And I just said, what do you mean? He goes, well, you know, I've seen it before, and, well, now we know what it is. Let's just deal with it. And, of course, you know, when he realized how much money I had spent when I was going to see an actual physician, it was a lot of money. We're talking medications. They had me on all kinds of medications. It wasn't just the lithium. I was taking other things, too. And I made this decision for natural ways because, like I said, I had already done that with my thyroid disorder and my blood pressure disorder. I'm taking Arjuna root for blood pressure. And for my thyroid, I take Dr. Christopher's thyroid support, I think is what it's called. And it actually works. I feel really good. I've actually had levels drawn. You can go to clinics and get blood work drawn and just pay cash. And I have, and my blood work has been fine. Thyroid. My blood pressure's been good. Running 110 over 64. I mean, that's better than I was when I was taking a pharmaceutical. And then for my diabetes, I take this thing called berberin. And my blood sugars are kind of up and down. I'm diet controlled, type 2 diabetes. I was taking metformin, but, you know, like I said, no insurance now. Berberin, I did some research on that, seemed to be close. And it works as long as you eat healthy, you know. But if you're going to cram Twizzlers and Coca-Colas and, you know, Reese's Pieces in your mouth, okay, candy, that doesn't really work. So you have to come to terms with, yes, I have diabetes. Yes, I need to watch my sugar intake. And I have, and it all works. So I'm managing my illnesses pretty well. I'm managing my situations pretty well, naturally. I'm choosing at this point to not increase the monies out by going with, you know, my husband putting me on his insurance, because it literally increases the amount coming out if we're all three on there. You know, just him and my child, it's not that bad, but for me to be on there too, I don't really know why. This plan is so goofy, I'm not going to say it out loud because I don't really want to, get into insurance wars, but it costs too much. So, and I'm going to pause here for right now, and we'll get back to this later. Thank you.